But I want to talk about something which I got to experience last week, which was last week, I don't know, I mentioned to a bunch of you here already, that I had the opportunity to go to Israel, and we made a Shabbaton, a few of us from the shul, we made a Shabbaton for 41 families of fallen soldiers. So we had 250 people in the hotel, and it was a group of like 15 to 20 of us, and it was the most inspiring, depressing, wonderful, terrible Shabbos you can ever imagine. It was just, it was unbelievable. And then we decided to take the approach where, at least for myself, that I was going to go from table to table and just hear everyone's story and talk to every single person there, because that's ultimately what we are there for. And to see how much they appreciated it and each element of the Shabbos, of the entire thing. Now, they really did it well. Sivan Rachav Meir spoke on Thursday night. Racheli Frankel, remember her from the Three Boys, she got up to speak a few times and she said, I'm like season one of the TV show, and you are all now in the most current season. And hearing that from her was just beyond. Jennifer Ehrlich, she spoke here. She was there for Shabbos. The Hexter family, it was mainly English speakers also, which made it also more profound and impactful. But I want to just talk about one story which happened, or a few stories which happened there over Shabbos, and tie it into what we just read this past week, which will also tie into the Tehillim as well. So one table sitting right next to us, a beautiful family of five. So I walked over and, oh, we're talking, hi, how are you? How do you know English so well? Oh, my parents were professors in Utah and in Philadelphia and this stuff. Everyone's got a story as to how they ended up where they were. So I said, so tell me about your son. So he said, okay. He said, you know, our son loved learning Gemara. He loved learning Gemara. More than anything else, he loved learning Gemara. And he made a siyum on Maseches Kiddushin from a tank in Gaza. This is what he was. This is what he was doing. He would wake up before everybody else to make sure to put on tefillin and to make sure to learn Daf Yomi. That's what he was doing every single day. His unit loved him. He was also the head of the unit. One time, well, as during the war, his entire unit was in a certain house, and two soldiers walked out, and there was a sniper across the way they didn't see, shot two of his soldiers. He pulls them back in, tourniquets them, saves their lives. He says, I'm the one with the machine gun, so I'm going to go and spray them with bullets, so that way you can all escape and get to a safe place. So he does that, and they all go safely, and he's safe as well. He wants to double check, because he's the head of this unit, him and another guy, they go check to make sure no one's left upstairs. They just do one final walkthrough, and from there he gets hit and killed. Devastating. And the parents, they know all the details, which is amazing. They're saying in such detail. A lot of them watched videos of what happened. You know, one of them was telling me that their son fought for 9 hours, killed over 40 terrorists, went back to the base and was hit with a rocket. And just like you hear, but they had the details of every single one. They watched the videos as to how their son went from step to step. And it's unbelievable. And everyone obviously copes in different ways. So everyone wants to interact with these things differently. But this boy was killed in that way. And his parents were telling this over with, obviously sad, but with such a pride. They were so proud. Like, Mamish, their son dies as an absolute hero. There's no other way to say it. Dies as an absolute hero. And the crazy part came, I looked across the table and I see all of his siblings are there. And he has an 11-year-old sister. And the father says, Nunu, tell him about your dream. No, what's the dream? You know, she didn't want to say, okay. So the father goes on to tell me that during Shiva, she had a dream. The 11-year-old sister had a dream that she saw her brother up in what seemed to be Gan Eden learning Gemara, and she saw it was the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Gimel. Okay. Now, as an aside, this boy loved learning, loved life. He loved everything, and he would always talk about how lucky he is to be in the army right now. This is his shlichut. This is what he's here for. This is his mission. This is what he's here for. And Daf Mem Gimel in Maseches Kiddushin is all about shlichut. It's all about aid nasa, shliach nasa aid. That whole perek over there, especially those dafim over there, are all about going on a mission. And what's your mission? And the family got such a nechama from that. They got such a nachas ruach from that. He's in a good place. He's doing okay. And this is where he's supposed to be. And it was just amazing. Now, the difference between, I guess, where I am thinking in terms of my kids and their kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, an 11-year-old girl, she probably didn't even know what Maseches Kiddushin was. And they're like, no, she knows the Mishnayos, of course. I'm like, right, of course, of course. But this is who we're talking about over here. For me, like, this stuff just, you know, you're talking about this type of stuff that's hitting home. There's another family where the son's dream, for whatever reason, was just to finish Maseches Bava Kamma. He wanted to finish a certain Masechta, and he died in the middle. He was killed in the middle. And the rest of his unit got together. They finished the Masechta. They did the Siyum at the parents' house. with music and dancing and everything along those lines. So you have those stories to now, on the other extreme, you have a family there where the husband has never kept Shabbos before. His son had just died, and he decided that this Shabbos was going to be the first time that he keeps Shabbos. He smokes two packs a day. He's never kept Shabbos. And he said, this Shabbos, I'm going to do it. And the entire Shabbos, we're pumping him up. We're going, we're giving him hugs, high fives. We're like, you got this, you got this. He's holding a lollipop the entire time, like instead of a cigarette. Like, just tons and tons of lollipops the entire day. And he did it. We had a whole big dance with him afterwards with the chief rabbi of Israel. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But this thing which came out, this idea of just being on a mission, being pushing towards something, understanding what we're here for. And I think this is the theme that we just read in this past week's Parsha, because we read Vayihi b'Yom HaShmini, what's the most exciting time in the world, the inauguration of the Mishkan, literally the happiest day we can ever imagine, all of a sudden turns to a terrible day for Aaron. He loses Nadav and Avihu. Now, what did he lose them for? Big discussion. But Moshe Rabbeinu seems to tell Aaron, if you look at Rashi, that we knew something was going to have to happen in order for us to be able to reach this holy point, for us to be able to reach this high level. And we thought it was going to be something from us, but it was Nadav and Avihu. They are on a higher level than we were. Moshe Rabbeinu giving good words of strength. And we know that Aaron famously is Vayidom Aaron. He's silent. What does it mean that he's silent? What does this mean? Rashi tells us that he was rewarded for this silence. What was he rewarded with? He was rewarded with the next parsha in the Torah, which means that the whole episode that we talk about in the next part of the Torah, which is that a Kohen can't be drunk when they're doing the Avodah, that was said just to Aaron. Normally it's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, and Moshe tells to Aaron, or it's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron, but this one's just Vayidaber Hashem el Aaron, that it's specifically to Aaron. And the question begs itself, why is that a nechama? Why is that a reward for Vayidom Aaron? But there's something else that's very strange from this. We know that Nadav and Avihu died, but Elazar and Itamar lived. And when referring to the sons of Aaron, it refers to them as Hanosarib, the remaining sons, the survivors. It's very strange to call them survivors. You want to call someone a survivor, we're talking about like Holocaust survivors, where they went through the Holocaust and they survived that which they were going through. You call someone a cancer survivor when they had cancer and now they are continuing to live. If someone else has cancer and I don't have cancer, I'm not a cancer survivor. I just didn't have that disease. So to call the sons of Aaron, the other ones, survivors is a very strange thing to do. And Rashi picks up on this, and Rashi says, based on the Egel, really everyone could have had this fate, but it was really just Nadav and Avihu because of whatever else it was. So it's a very strange word in terms of the survivors. And I think the Yesod is that oftentimes when people go through a certain type of loss, they say that there's just a feeling of just, you just feel lost. You have no purpose. You have no mission. You don't know what you're here for anymore. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. The ultimate thing that you can do for a nechama is to give someone a mission, give someone a purpose. Aaron HaKohen has this major loss, Vayidom Aaron, and he turns that into action. He turns that into something positive. A new parsha in the Torah is now created because of Aaron HaKohen. For the sake of Aaron HaKohen, that's giving him purpose. That's giving him a mission. Hanosarim, when we're saying this about the boys, about the other sons of Aaron, it's that they turned this episode into something positive. They turned this episode into something that they can grow from. Another one of the boys that I met last week, a mother and one of the parents, their son was just an unbelievable kid. They're just singing all of their son's praises. And he saved again his unit. And he was almost going to escape. They had to blow up a building because terrorists were coming in on them. And they had to blow up a building. And he was basically escaped, but a brick came out of nowhere and hit him in the face and killed him. It's like, I'm like, it's terrible. It's terrible to just even say these things. This boy carried around the Messias Yesharim in his pocket every second that he was in Gaza. No matter where he was, he carried around the Messias Yesharim. So what did the parents do naturally? They started a new Messias Yesharim Chabura. Every day a 5-minute WhatsApp comes out on Messias Yesharim, Le'ilui Nishmas. That's what Jews do. We turn tragedy into opportunity. We turn tragedy into something to help others. Think of all of the amazing organizations that we have in our community and think about how they started. You know, you have Renewal. Right? The whole story that the guy, I don't even remember his name. Started Renewal, what's the name? Whatever it is. But we know that the Renewal guy, he was looking for a kidney and he could not find one, and it took him thousands and thousands of times to be able, and it was on his last chance that he finally found one. But because of this whole experience, he now created some organization that has now saved so many lives. RCCS, Bone Olam, Eitan, all of the things, Hatzalah, all of the different things that we have in our life were created because people went through difficult times and now turned that into a mission. And our goal are to be people who have a mission, who have a passion, who have a drive to go and accomplish great things. I heard an amazing quote from Mark Twain. It could be really famous, but I didn't really know it before, which is that the two greatest days, the two most important days in your life are the day that you're born and the day you figure out why. Right? The day you're born and the day you figure out why. What is your mission? What is your purpose? What are you here for? This is what we're trying to accomplish. This is what it is that we are here to go and figure out. It's not easy, and it takes time. But we think to ourselves, what are we good at? What life circumstance were we put in because of whatever it is? Oftentimes, the thing that we struggle with most is usually what we're here for. Usually, the thing that gives us the most difficulty is the thing that maybe we're supposed to be working on the most. It's uncomfortable, but it's something which has to be said. It's important to go and think like that, but to be mission-driven. I think this was Aaron, this was the remaining sons, and I think this is what our goal and our takeaway has to be. So as we see what's going on, we look internally. What can we be doing? And now, once we start to work on ourselves, you'll find that things around us fall into place in a bit of a different way. And there are more leadership opportunities. There are more doing opportunities. Our goal, as my grandfather always likes to say, we got to be observant Jews. We got to open our eyes and observe that which is around us and see there's a lot to do. There's a lot of chesed opportunities within your Dalet Amos if you're just looking for them. Now, on that note,